Welcome to CEDEFOP Skillset and Match podcast. I'm Panos Polyzoidis. The European Year of Skills is underway, and much of the public debate is centered on skills shortages and skills gaps. Filling those gaps is a top priority for European Union policymakers in order to allow for a smooth but also just and inclusive transition to greener and more digitized economies and societies. And for such policies to be designed, clear and meaningful evidence is necessary. To discuss these issues, I am now joined by Cécile Hanoun, Head of Unit Climate Action Governance and Effort Sharing at the European Commission's Directorate General for Climate Action, DG Clima, and CEDEFOP's expert Ilias Livanos, who has been working on skills forecast and the European Skills Index. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for having me.
Cécile, skills gaps. This is what we've been discussing throughout this European Year of Skills. Can you possibly put skills gaps in the context of a green transition that will be just and inclusive as Europe aspires it to be?
Well, I think the skills aspect is actually crucial to deliver on the green transition. We have very ambitious objectives for climate and energy for 2030 and further on to 2050. And what we are seeing is that to address those objectives, we need additional workforce with the right skills for the deployment of clean energy technologies, for the manufacturing of clean energy technologies. Since the green transition impacts people, sectors, and regions differently, it's crucial that we manage this transition in a way which is just and fair, so that our efforts on improving the situation for skills and jobs focus on the places where it's needed most.
So, at the same time, addressing imbalances, this is what you're saying.
Exactly. From what we see, there are imbalances. The skill gaps and the shortages are increasingly growing. While we see some positive employment trends in some sectors, I think people also have this perception. From a recent Eurobarometer survey, 70% of people see the green transition as an opportunity, but half of them say they are not sure whether they have the right skills. So definitely we need to address that. And the risk of imbalance is also something that touches upon the gender dimension. For example, we see in the energy sector imbalances on the gender dimension in the workforce, but also in STEM education, which are crucial skills for the green transition.
Ilias, skills shortages, is there a particular pattern throughout Europe or more than one pattern?
If you allow me to look in the future, because the future is what we care about and what we can influence, I think when we talk about shortages and future shortages, there are three aspects that we need to think and consider. First of all is the demand side. So what are the shortages that will be coming because the demand for some goods or services is growing? So if we think about the twin transitions, we know that there will be high demands for information and communication coming from the digital transformation and transition, and then there will be high demand for research and development because we need a lot of services to support the Green Deal and the digital transition. And we need to think about the demand. But there is not only the demand. When we think about supply, we need to consider which sectors they're actually aging, because there will be a big bulk of shortages coming from that side. And I will explain to you what I mean. If we think about information and communication, and we say, wow, there is big demand about it, yes, but it's a small sector, relatively, and also it's a young sector. Think now about the health sector and the care sector. They're old sectors, old meaning the workforce is old, and also the demand is exploding because of COVID and because of aging of the workforce itself. So in volume, we'll have to anticipate shortages coming from that direction as well.
And the European trade unions make the point that there is a problem on the supply side when we're talking about quality jobs, and they use the health sector as a prime example.
Exactly. When we have a list of future shortage occupations, then we need to sort them out and we need to find a way to sort them out. And indeed, we have to look what is behind the occupations, because if we only think about volume, we'll end up saying that maybe cleaners and helpers are the number one occupation in shortage. But then we need to look behind the numbers and understand that for some occupations, like the care sectors that you mentioned, working conditions, they're not that sufficient in order to maintain and sustain the existing workforce. And I will give you an example. What we have noticed is that there are many highly educated people working in the health sector, but in occupations that they're actually below their level of education. So there could be actually trained physicians that work maybe as nurses.
So they're overqualified.
They're overqualified, but there are two points there. The one is to say that maybe the job of a nurse has expanded, so a doctor can do it, and maybe a doctor, a qualified doctor, is not up for taking the responsibility and the working conditions and the pay in order to do this. And I will remind you, if you have watched one movie with Ben Stiller, when he was a trained doctor, but he was working as a nurse. When his wife-to-be asked him, then why are you working as a nurse? Because my father is furious, a father working for the CIA.
That was Bob De Niro.
Yeah, it was. And he said, well, I'm qualified, but I'm not up for what it brings with it. And, you know, that puts things into context, Panos.
This is where skills intelligence comes into play. But what will be the practical role of skills intelligence in the process of designing a policy to address exactly those problems that you mentioned?
We do have a lot of data, an enormous amount of data, and data keep coming because the methods become more complex and the data sets become wider and the way to gather the data becomes easier using online vacancies and big data. But the question is, what do we do with this data? The first thing that we need to do is to make sense out of the data, because if you just focus on the trends, you may be charmed by the trends and then you may come out saying messages that maybe you shouldn't. So if you look at the shortages, I said it before, the biggest volume will be with cleaners and helpers. Yes, but is this a skills shortage issue? No, it is a volume issue and could be resolved by some sort of policies that would attract, let's say, people from nearby cities to solve the issue and so on. But with skills intelligence, you gather all the data, you try to understand them and to pass on the messages to those that are concerned in a simple way. And this is what skills intelligence does. Does not just bluntly produces tables with data, takes the tables and say, you know, from these tables, this is the next level and this is linked to some action.
So it's not just the quantification, it's actually qualified assessment.
It is an expert-driven process of understanding the data and finding the best way to communicate to the public, because in the end, the users are simple people and people who are advising other people and they need to understand.
Let me get back to the greening process, Cecile. The greening of the economy entails skills needs, and those require policies that must be delivered. What is the best way to optimize this chain of steps?
Well, I think I can easily build up on what Ilias was describing first about understanding the needs and monitoring the evolution and basically having up-to-date labor market and skills intelligence. We clearly need also on the green side more granular data, data which shows the level of granularity at regional, occupational, gender level, etc. We need a more precise definition of green jobs and skills, because compared to the sectors that you were describing, these are the newer sectors where sometimes we don't even have the definitions, and we need better indicators. I think CEDEFOB has launched a green observatory, which is a good start to gather evidence on these employment and skill implications of the work transition. And from our side in DG Clima, we really welcome all the work going on and look forward to work further on this. Maybe if we move to how do we use the data, I think we need to touch upon this issue of governance, which is multidimensional. We need wide stakeholder participation from social partners, from civil society, from companies. This also we mentioned earlier. We need cooperation between all levels of governments, from the EU to the local level. We need also what we call a whole of government approach. At this point in time when I'm speaking, member states are updating their integrated national energy and climate plans to define climate and energy measures for 2030. And in doing that, they need to engage with interlocutors in the ministries for education, for labor, to address these issues of skills and jobs.
Right. I have been made that little bit wiser. I hope our listeners have as well. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us, Cécile.
Thank you.
Ilya.
Thank you very much.
That was Cécile Hanoun of the European Commission's Directorate General for Climate Action and CEDEFOP expert Ilias Livanos. We'll be back with more on vocational education and training, skills and qualifications. Until then, you can listen to our podcasts on our website, cedefop.europa.eu, and all major podcast platforms. And follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Goodbye.